You're listening to The Top Line, brought to you by Fierce Pharma and Fierce Biotech. I'm your host, Ayla Ellison. Pharmaceutical CEOs often earn pay packages worth tens of millions of dollars for leading the top drug-making companies in the industry. Every year, some new faces enter the rankings while others leave. In today's episode, Fierce Pharma's Eric Saganowski and Fraser Kansteiner discuss Fierce's annual special report, Big Pharma's 10 Highest Paid CEOs. Aside from digging into the specific numbers surrounding CEO pay packages, the discussion also touches on CEO-to-worker pay ratios for 2023 and more. Let's dive into the conversation now.
Hey, Fraser. Thanks for coming on to talk about our recent report, Big Pharma's 10 Highest Paid CEOs in 2023. This is a report we've been doing for several years, and you've led it this time around. So I guess to start the conversation, what were your big takeaways from doing the research and then ranking all the CEO pay packages for last year?
Hey, Eric. Thanks for having me on. So one thing I noticed was all of the CEO turnover that we've had in the pharma industry in the last few years. So among the 10 companies that we included in this report, four companies, that was Johnson & Johnson, Teva, Vertex, and Merck, have had CEOs change over the past 3 years. And then another company in the report, AbbVie, is getting ready for a leadership transition this summer. Despite all of that change, some of those CEO switches brought one result that we've seen many years before, and that's a J&J CEO at the top of the rankings. So leading this year's report was Joaquin Duato with $28.4 million in total pay, which was more than double his compensation from the prior year. So how about you, Eric? What stood out to you?
The Duato pay package kind of reminded me of all the Alex Gorsky pay packages in the upper 20 millions.
Right.
For me, it wasn't exactly a surprise, but we only had one woman on this list, and that was Vertex's Reshma Kawalramani. And besides that aspect, I enjoyed looking at the CEO to median worker pay ratios. This is a calculation of how many workers it takes to make up the CEO's pay package. And it ranged, in many cases, around 100, between 100 and 200, and then to nearly 400 in the case of Teva. I guess for someone who hasn't yet read the report, and this published in mid-June, what kind of pay packages are we talking about? What goes into these pay packages?
And just jumping back really quickly to Reshma Kawalramani, I think it's interesting, certainly since I've been at Fierce, which is more than 4 years now, I think this is also the first time that a woman has even ranked on the list. And I just want to say, hopefully that's a trend we see continue, even though there's still a lot of underrepresentation there. But it was nice to finally get to include a woman CEO on the list. Thinking about what goes into those pay packages, like I mentioned, J&J CEO earned more than $28 million, more than $15 million of which came from stock and option awards. So digging into this a bit, you know, while big pharma CEOs enjoy high salaries that are usually above $1 million, it's their stock and option awards plus their annual bonuses that typically make up most of their total compensation. So besides Duato's $15 million plus in stock and option awards, his annual incentive pay was $4.4 million, which was a pretty significant jump from the year before. And rationalizing that decision and its proxy filing, J&J said that the company last year had largely met or exceeded its combined financial and strategic goals for 2023. Behind Duato, Eli Lilly's David Ricks collected $26.6 million, and that doesn't really come as much of a surprise given the massive success of the company's recent diabetes and obesity drugs, Mounjaro and Zepbound. And again, the pay breakdown between salary, stock options, and bonus for Ricks were pretty similar to Duato. And for some perspective, Merck's Robert Davis earned the number 10 spot, the last spot on our list, with $20.3 million in pay last year. So no CEO on this report collected less than $20 million in 2023 compensation. So Eric, I know you've been around this report for a while. Did any other unique storylines arise this year?
Yeah, definitely. And this was a storyline that Angus Liu, our colleague, picked up on when he was reporting the story. One unique storyline was that Amgen, their CEO, Robert Bradway, had a nice jump in his cash bonus after the company greatly exceeded its revenue target for the year. Amgen did this in part by buying out Horizon, the rare disease drug maker, and adding to its top line. So that kind of raises the question of whether CEOs are incentivized to strike big M&A deals to help boost their compensation during the review process. When Angus reported this story, an Amgen spokesperson didn't respond directly to that question about incentives and instead just pointed back to the company's proxy filing, which said that they exceeded their financial goals. Besides the question of incentives, Amgen CEO Robert Bradway, enjoyed more than $600,000 in other compensation, which was higher than his peers. That category was made up of his personal use of the corporate aircraft, a car and driver, financial planning services, 401k contributions, and other retirement plan contributions. So some interesting storylines at Amgen. Another case I thought was interesting was Pfizer. They've made all sorts of headlines for their, you know, financial struggles in 2023, but the CEO still showed up in this report. So there was some discussion on social media about him, Pfizer's Albert Bourla, showing up in the report. And Teva's got some interesting facets going on. What happened there, Fraser?
And I just want to say, I always think it's really interesting to look at that other compensation table and just see what all the extra expenses are.
Yeah, there's some unique categories there. Home security, car and driver.
Yeah, thankfully, we're not racking up a whole lot of costs on the Fierce Pharma private jet.
No, I think we're okay.
But similar to what you mentioned with Robert Bradway at Amgen, I think Teva, the story of its CEO compensation is really pretty interesting. So after several years of revenue and share price declines, Teva appointed Richard Francis to be its CEO starting on January 1st of last year. During his first year at the Israeli drug giant, the CEO really cashed in pretty big. So for example, Francis collected $19 million as part of an equity package that the company drew up to, quote, incentivize him to accept the job offer. That was according to one of Teva's proxy filings. Beyond the equity package, Francis collected a salary of $1.6 million and a cash bonus of $1.5 million, plus non-stock compensation of $2.6 million and $1 million to cover other costs, including housing and relocation. So in terms of, aside from just the incentive to take the job, if we look at what maybe is meriting some of that compensation, a few months after taking the helm, Francis revealed his pivot to growth strategy for the company. The program is putting greater focus on Teva's innovative drugs while de-emphasizing the company's long-standing priority on generics. So far, investors really do seem to be buying in, as Teva's share price has increased about 90% since he was announced as the company's new CEO in November of 2022.
Yeah, it seems like they're doing pretty well on their turnaround. While investors are happy with Teva's performance, there was a little bit of investor uneasiness about AstraZeneca's executive payment plan. What's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, this is something that our longtime readers are going to be pretty familiar with. It's hardly a new development when AstraZeneca faces executive compensation pushback. But in a victory for the company, a majority of investors recently backed Pascal Soriot's 2024 compensation plan after some influential advisors recommended that they vote against it. So the controversy really surrounds more so what the Remunerate Committee is proposing for this year versus what he was paid in 2023. But here's what happened. In April, influential advisory firms, Institutional Shareholder Services, and Glass Lewis sought to rally investors against AstraZeneca's 2024 pay proposal for Soriot, which could see the CEO earn around £18.7 million, which is roughly equivalent to $23.5 million for his performance this year. So a little over a week after ISS and Glass Lewis made their complaints known, Ravi Jain, chairman and chief investment officer of AstraZeneca investor GQG Partners, came out in Soriot's defense. And in the end, investors largely sided with AstraZeneca. At the company's annual meeting in mid-April, 64.43% of shareholders voted in favor of the updated pay policy. Now, we can end the discussion by talking about one of the longest-serving CEOs on the list, and it's another company embarking on a transition phase. So what's going on with AbbVie's Richard Gonzalez, Eric?
He's led that company through their entire growth into one of the world's largest pharma giants. He collected $25.7 million in total pay last year, That's not a bad parting gift as he prepares to retire and move into AbbVie's executive chairman role. Well, Fraser, thanks for getting on to talk about CEO pay packages last year. It's a really interesting report, and I hope people go read it.
Thanks so much for having me to talk about it, Eric.
That's it for The Top Line. I'm your host, Ayla Ellison. You can find out more about this topic in our show notes at fiercepharma.com. Look for podcasts. And that's The Bottom Line from The Top Line.